Today we'll have Jonathan's December trip report. That's coming up on this episode 262 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I'm going to have to change that intro to reflect that we do a lot of trip reports here, including this episode. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 262. So you guys love the trip reports, and this is a good one. This is Jonathan, who just got back from a trip just before Christmas with his daughter. You'll hear more about that in just a second, but it was a delight to talk to him, and I hope you will enjoy it. I do want to remind you to follow on social media, but one thing I have forgotten to mention in the last couple episodes is that I'm on TikTok. I know a lot of people think that TikTok is for kids and it's just for dances, but it's not. It's incredible. It's been like my happy place this year, and you can also follow us there. So just search WDW Prep School on any platform, including TikTok. Any other housekeeping today? I don't think so. I don't want to waste too much time. I know these episodes are long and I don't need to make it any longer. Here is Jonathan. Welcome to the podcast, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me.
You and I are talking on Saturday, December 12th. Are you headed to Disney World soon by chance?
We are. We leave tomorrow at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow, early start. Who's we?
It is myself and my 11-year-old daughter, just the two of us, which is not hugely unusual for us because I'm actually a single father by choice. So there is no other father and no mother. It has been the two of us for the last 11 and a half years.
So it's your family of two that is going.
Yes.
And I'm going to take a wild guess. This isn't your first trip.
This is not our first trip. We've been going regularly since we sort of discovered it when she was about four.
So that's a fun age to start. They're still little.
It's a very different trip than I think it is now. But we have gone probably twice a year since we started going.
Wow, that's nice. I know. For people that can afford it, I always suggest going as often as possible because their stages just change so quickly.
Very true. Yeah, very true. And it is, you know, it's always a stretch, but we've sort of prioritized it. And full disclosure, we did buy into DVC 4 years ago. So that's made it a little bit easier for us to go down sort of regularly.
Do you stay DVC once a year and then you do a non-DVC the other trip? Or how does that usually work?
That is pretty much what we've done. We've had a couple years where we've had enough points to go twice a year and stay DVC. We always stay studios. We usually go during sort of low point seasons. So we've been able to stretch to the equivalent of maybe six nights a year. And our trips are usually not that long. The one we're going on tomorrow is by far the longest we will have ever been there.
You said it starts December 13th. How long are you staying?
We're staying until Saturday the 19th. So 6 nights and 7 days.
And where are you staying this trip?
We are doing our first split stay. We are starting at Riviera and we are ending at the Boardwalk. So my bucket list has been to try to stay at every DVC resort, at least in Florida, but actually also to try to stay at every single Disney resort because I'm fascinated by them. So these are two we haven't stayed in. And then we are almost done checking our boxes.
Have you seen the checklist that I have on the site? Where you can, it's not DVC, but it's just all the Disney World resorts. You need your own version of it. So is this your first time at Riviera and the Boardwalk or no?
Yes, it is for both of them.
Okay. Split stays are a great way to get through that checklist pretty quickly.
Yeah. This will be interesting also because the big difference about this trip is that Sally, my daughter, is still in school all week remotely. And she'll be in either the lobby or our room for the majority of the day doing school. And the day that we have to switch resorts, checkout is, I think, at 11 and check-in is at 4. And she'll be in school that whole time. So we have to sort of figure out how to make Wednesday, which is the day we're supposed to switch, work with her schooling.
Yeah, that will be a logistical trick. You have to let us know how that works out for you. But I like that you're, you know, going somewhere different, change of scenery while you're both working or doing school from home.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sort of the name of the game with this trip. That was a huge reason.
Yeah. And I'm going to guess this is your first trip back since the parks reopened.
It is. It is. And the first time we've traveled since we were at Disney World last January. We haven't left really New York City since. So we're really excited about this trip, more so than usual for many obvious reasons that I'm sure tons of people can relate to.
So how did you decide on these dates? Why did you decide to travel now?
Well, about 6 weeks ago, Sally's school sent out an email saying before and after the winter break, they were going to move from partly in person to all remote so people can quarantine. And when I sort of looked at the calendar and said, oh man, that's 3 weeks of sitting in our apartment doing school from her bedroom. We could do it from anywhere. And then I sort of looked at our DVC points that we hadn't used, and I looked at flights that were incredibly cheap. I just said, this is the time to book. And it also worked because we celebrate Hanukkah, and it was the perfect surprise gift, which I gave her last night. So everything just sort of worked together to say, this is the time to go. And also, you know, however the relative low crowds are working with the new procedures and the capacity, it seems to be a very quiet week with crowds that are like around 1 and 2. And that was really appealing to us as well, since there are no fast passes.
Yeah, it does seem to be a bit quieter. Probably. Well, actually, yeah, it's kind of been up and down, but hopefully it will be good for your trip dates. So you said that she just found out last night.
Yes.
How did that go?
Yeah, that was great. It was great. I gave her a number of little gifts that kind of had hints in them. So I started with some Disney Pez dispensers, which she collects, and she didn't quite get it. And then it was a sweatshirt that she didn't quite get. And then we sort of ended with magic bands, and her eyes just lit up. And then she actually started tearing up, and it was just a great surprise. I'm actually not sure who's more excited about the trip, but she was very excited last night.
Did you happen to capture it on video by chance?
I didn't think about it. No.
sometimes the surprises can go wrong. Sometimes they go well. Right. You just never know. Yeah. Okay. So you told us that she's going to be doing school. And so how are you doing your days? How are you balancing trip activities with school or work activities?
Yeah. I mean, the priority obviously has to be school. And I think we've both accepted that she's generally in school from 8 o'clock until about 3:30. And, you know, we'll wake up and have breakfast, and she'll start school and have something to look forward to. And then each afternoon or evening, we have reservations at one of the parks. And then the last day, which is Friday, where, you know, what are they really going to be learning the day before break when in person it's usually just holiday parties? We may blow off the day and just go into the parks. It's also our Hollywood studio days. And so we're hopeful about boarding passes for Rise of the Resistance, and that would trump school.
Oh, yes. For sure. Yeah, so if you got a boarding group that was before 3:30, you would have Absolutely. To cut class. What a life. You get to skip math and go ride Rise of the Resistance.
Right? Yeah, very true.
Okay, so school until the afternoon, and then you have park passes to go to a park per day. What about dining reservations? Have you made any of those?
We have. We have a number of them. One of the other things I love to do at Disney, because we get to go so often, is I really like to try new restaurants. I'm in the food business peripherally. I'm really interested in restaurants. I love how much really good food and how many amazing experiences there are there, and I really like to try different places every time. So we usually do half of our reservations at places that we love that have been special and half that are new. And it's really the same thing with this trip. We have breakfast reservation at Topolino's, where I've really been dying to eat for a long time. We have a lunch reservation at Hollywood Brown Derby, 100% because of you. We have a breakfast reservation at Trattoria Al Forno on our last day. And we have a reservation at Teppanito in Epcot. And otherwise, we're going to kind of wing it. We've got some quick serves that we like. And, you know, I was on the site even yesterday, and there's still a lot that seems to be available. So we may snag a last minute reservation if we get excited about something, you know, and see if we can get in. I was also actually victim's probably the wrong word, but I was also one of those people who snagged a whole bunch of reservations on the day that the site had that error, mm-hmm. and they were canceled. But I also found myself with $75 in gift cards, which is kind of amazing. So we may use those for some special treat as well.
What I notice about your dining reservation list is that you are clearly eating where you will be, which I always love seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not, this is a little bit more of a low key trip. And I don't think there's ever a time that we're going to rush to a specific resort or anything for a meal. We kind of want to take this one a little easy and, you know, really see, we've never seen Christmas there. We go often during Halloween. We've never seen the queues because we're so into fast passes for a lot of the things that I hear the queues are a huge part of the experience. And I think we're going to take this one a little bit slow, a lot less quote unquote touring plans than we usually have for our trips.
Yeah, that's why I think it's a good time for people that are frequent visitors who are comfortable traveling right now. It's a very unique time because of just exactly what you said. You can go slower. Yeah. You can see the queues maybe for the first time. You don't have to go quite so hard. So it's very, very unique. It sounds like you totally are going to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We go pretty hard and pretty fast when we're there. Definitely rope drop until the end of the night. I love the night shows. I think we're really going to miss them as part of our experience. Mm-hmm. And I know oftentimes, especially when Sally was a little bit younger, I remember her saying like, can't we just sit down on a bench for 10 minutes and relax? And I would say, no, we've got to go. You know, can't we browse in this gift shop? And I would say, no, I've allotted 12:45 till 1 o'clock. So we've got to get over to this fast pass. So this is really going to be different. And, you know, we've done the things before, and 7 days is a lot different than trying to cram things into 3 days. So I feel really lucky, but we're really going to try to take it kind of slow.
You might also really like the mild temperatures compared to when you normally go.
Yeah, we've got sweatshirts. I see a couple of the days, or at least nights, it's going to dip into the mid to low 50s. So we've never experienced that before.
Yeah, what a treat it is to not be sweating all the time.
Yes.
So that'll be good. Well, I'm excited for you to see all the holiday things because that's definitely unique.
Yeah, same. We're really excited about that.
Are there any plans that you've made or things that you want to do that we haven't talked about?
There aren't really. I mean, we may do the holiday cookie stroll. We may check out, I don't know if they call it Movie Under the Stars, which we've never done because oftentimes the park is closing early. But, you know, we have definitely in the past done some quote unquote special experiences. We didn't book anything like that, although there isn't a lot to book. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything that's really special or a big surprise, no tours or anything like that. But no, just some new restaurants. Very excited about getting onto Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, if I said it right.
Yeah, and that'll be your first time.
Yes. And I've been studying the Lines app, the Touring Plans Lines app, which I use a lot. And it is shocking. I guess since they put plexiglass maybe and increased capacity, I'm seeing lines on that ride oftentimes that are 15 minutes. And I was prepared to wait 2 hours like other people did. I have a feeling we may be able to hit that two or three times. You know, oftentimes the first time you can't take things in and you want to sort of then go back and look more carefully and analyze. And I have a feeling that we might have the chance to actually do that. So I'm excited. That'll be the only new true rider experience that we'll do on this trip that we've never done.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And if you do have a chance to do it multiple times, that's definitely one that's worth it. So
yeah.
I hope you do have an opportunity. So Sally is your daughter's name, right?
Yes.
So she hasn't known about this trip for very long, but do you have any grasp on what she's most excited about?
I think a lot of it is just honestly getting out of New York and the apartment and feeling some warmth. And I think she also, you know, as you said, kids have different phases. And when she was younger, it was, you know, the princesses and Bibbidi Bop. And now it's a little bit more, she's curious. She was asking last night how some of the technology works and what Imagineering is. And I think it'll be really interesting to be able to talk a little bit more, you know, sort of friend to friend about some of what's the most impressive to me, which is Imagineering the scope of what happens, the ride systems and things like that, that we never really talked about before. So I have a feeling those are going to be the kinds of memories that she has from this trip that are going to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
I think we'll see.
Yeah, you'll see. But I think that'll be lovely. So I hope you guys have a great trip and I'll talk to you when you get back.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back from your trip, Jonathan.
Thank you so much.
So you and I are speaking now on Tuesday, December 22nd. You got back on the 19th. How are you feeling now that you're home?
We're feeling good. We're feeling settled. It's very quiet. We're spending time looking through pictures. But all in all, it's fine to be home. We can't wait to go back.
It's fine to be home. Yes. Yeah, listen, post-Disney blues are a thing for sure.
Especially, they definitely are.
Especially for those of us that spend a lot of time planning because it's like a hobby. So
it's totally true. They always hit me like the last day there always feels sort of strange and surreal. And you're just sort of thinking about how it's really coming to a close. And that's when it usually gets me the worst. When I'm home, I always try to think about planning the next trip and it gets me kind of excited about the whole process again. But we'll get to that later, I'm sure.
Before this was my job, I used to plan my next trip during my current trip because it was the only thing that made the last day tolerable.
Totally. Yeah. So yeah. The bounce back offers. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I remember sitting by the pool at Port Orleans Riverside on my phone and putting down a deposit on my next trip. And back then I only went every 2 years. So I couldn't actually, you know, do a deposit 2 years out, but I could at least get the dates down or maybe do a bounce back or something. But
wow.
Yes. It's so hard. It's so hard.
Yeah. It definitely is. It definitely is. But all in all, we had a great trip and, it was different than any trip we've had before, partly because of COVID, partly because it was a longer, more relaxed trip, and partly because we had some different kinds of snafus. What's a Disney trip without at least a couple of snafus? But it really was. It was a terrific trip and a great way to reconnect. And as I sort of said beforehand, it just felt extra special and we appreciated everything, I think, more than we usually do because we've been sitting in our apartment for 9.5 months. And so any restaurant, any walk around people, anything magical just felt 10 times more so than it did when we would just go sort of regularly.
Right. You took it for granted before.
For sure.
Now it's more special. I think that's going to be kind of the general sentiment going into 2021 is people are going to be really appreciative of things that they weren't before. And especially as the year goes on, wanting to travel more. So let's start going through it because your trip began on Sunday, December 13th. Can you talk to us about your commute to get to Disney World?
Sure. I mean, the commute was what I was probably the most uncomfortable about. It ended up being pretty easy. We flew United from LaGuardia, which is 15 minutes from our house. We had a really early flight, 7:45. And the airport was empty. The thing that was interesting was our area, which was United, was really empty. Our flight probably was 30% full, but I happened to take a walk down looking for coffee and I saw the Southwest area and it was jam-packed. Every single seat in the terminal was full and it felt like a really different experience. Ours was okay. The flight was smooth. There was no one sitting right around us. I'm not someone who normally takes extra precaution, but we did wear gloves on the flight and we did have face masks and also the face shields. Mm-hmm. And so we felt generally safe. And it was easy. Orlando Airport was totally empty. We did take Magical Express. And when we checked in, the cast member told us it would be about 45 minutes until the bus left. And I thought, maybe we should jump in an Uber because we only have one day at Animal Kingdom and they're closing pretty early. But we did decide to get on the bus and then it left 9 minutes later, which was amazing and kind of set us up for thinking, oh, the logistics of the trip maybe are going to go well. This is kind of a good omen. So 9 minutes until Magical Express left, you know, seats very clearly marked with where people could sit and where they couldn't. I'd say the bus was a third full. And then we were the first stop. So this has actually never happened before. We got off the plane at 10:31 and we were at our resort, which was Riviera, at 11:14. It's never gone that fast.
45 minutes. That might be a record.
It was great. It was really, it was really nice to have it happen so quickly, especially because we were, you know, we were a little bit on edge, and the bus was one of the things that I sort of thought were in a closed space, a little bit close to other people. It wasn't what I was most looking forward to. But one of the things that was interesting and a little bit of a bummer was we love the Magical Express because it kind of like transitions us into the Disney bubble, and we love the trivia, and Sally, my 11-year-old, loves the cartoons, but they didn't do any of this on this trip. They had some COVID reminders and then a whole bunch of commercials, but otherwise there wasn't anything on the TV that felt kind of magical, but no big deal.
I think the reason is that the footage and stuff they used to show was in the parks in their former condition, and Disney's been very protective about making sure all their materials show people in masks and all the new, you know, rules. So they don't want to broadcast it to anyone.
That makes a lot of sense.
But okay. It is a bummer.
That totally makes sense.
It doesn't help your situation where you're like, I want to be in the bubble when I'm on the bus.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it was such a quick ride. And, you know, as the first stop, we got to see Riviera for the first time. That's where we stayed the first three nights of our trip. And we loved it. It's beautiful. You know, as you know, it's brand new. The grounds are immaculate. It was very quiet again. I didn't think to look this up, but I don't know if it only was hosting DVC members or if any of the hotel was open, but it was pretty empty, but it wasn't eerie empty. It wasn't like we were the only ones in the lobby. There were people there, and, you know, we got the text that a room was ready at 12. So maybe half hour after we had gotten there, and we put our stuff down, and I forgot to mention to you before we left that we actually booked the Tower Studio because it was so many less points. And for you and people who listen, I know you've probably heard that it's very small. It's very small. I mean, it is minute and it's beautiful. The finishes are beautiful and the bathroom is beautiful. But it is teeny tiny. When the bed is down, you can barely walk around it. And so I'm realizing now, because Sally was there to do school the first 3 days for about 7 hours a day, it may not have been the best choice in terms of the two of us sort of coexisting when she was in school and needing a desk. But the room is beautiful. It's just, it's very, very small. And I had heard this before, and it's true. It's also very dark. The lighting is very strange. And we ended up using flashlights a lot just to see things, which sounds dramatic, but it was, it's really hard to see in there.
So strange with a new construction.
I agree. I think they nailed it in terms of the finishes and the look, but I think they kind of missed it in terms of the lighting, which to me, maybe my eyes are getting old, is kind of important. And it was really dark in there.
Yeah.
We dropped our bags and we jumped on the bus to Animal Kingdom. Another good omen, you know, that great feeling when you walk to the bus stop just as your bus is pulling up and you have no wait. That happened. That actually happened a lot during this trip, but that happened. And we went over to Animal Kingdom and got there at about 12:45.
Wait, so you... That's very quick. Like I'm still stuck on when your plane landed. To the time you got to a hotel and now you're in a park. That's amazing.
That is true. And that's with probably half an hour of sitting in the lobby and getting our stuff together and packing our bag for the day. But it couldn't have gone any faster, which is so different than oftentimes when we land and we have fast passes And I always book the first one too early. So I'm always stressed out that we'll miss it. And usually we do. But this also, because there were no fast passes and there wasn't such a strict touring plan agenda, it was very much like, whatever, we'll get there when we can. And then we got there really, really fast. So we had, you know, the majority of the day in the park after all.
How did it go?
It went great. We had a great day. You know, one of the things that I found on the trip that was interesting, because there was a lot of debate about whether we enjoyed the no fast pass, so everybody waits in line sort of equally, or whether we enjoy fast passes. The big difference were the headliner rides had much shorter waits than historically, but a lot of the non-headliner rides that typically have no waits had really long waits. And so it was kind of a toss-up, but things in Animal Kingdom that we take for granted, like, you know, when we need a filler, we'll go into It's Tough to Be a Bug. Well, It's Tough to Be a Bug had a 35 to 45 minute wait the entire time we were there. And we were sort of thinking, like, I just can't justify waiting 45 minutes for something like It's Tough to Be a Bug. There was a 90 minute wait, at least posted for Dinosaur, when we're used to 15 minutes or walking on. But then on the flip side, something like Flight of Passage that people wait 2+ hours for was 40 minutes. So it's a really interesting toss up where everything we waited for the entire 6 days was about, call it 40 minutes. Nothing was an hour and a half, but really nothing was 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it was a really different experience that way. But we knocked out a lot of good things there. We started at Cali River Rapids because it was a little bit hot at that point in the day and we enjoy it. And she really wanted to get wet. That was maybe a 20 minute wait. And then we walked over to Flight of Passage. It was posting 60 minutes. The actual wait time was 48 minutes, but we didn't mind it because another bright spot on the trip was we got to see a lot of the queues that we never see because we only use FastPass. Mm-hmm. And some of them are, I mean, they're fascinating. They're great. And they really pass the time.
Did they have the queue open where you could see the avatar in the floating avatar in the tank?
They did. They mm-hmm. did. Yeah. And one of the things that I've heard you mention, other people mention, that's very strange is because of social distancing, the lines are physically so, so long mm-hmm. that you'll see them and think this has got to be 3 hours because you're going into another land. But you kind of are walking the whole time in line mostly. So you're getting steps in and they're moving really fast. And then once you're in the queue, there's so much to see that we never really felt like we were just standing on our feet in agony. It was always sort of active with a lot to see. So that was definitely on the pros list for this new way of touring.
I think with kids too, sometimes the queues feel like a little bit of a game of leapfrog or something because you just go from like dot to dot. So
yes.
While you're in line, you're not just all scrunched together and nudging forward a couple inches. You're like, oh, it's my next dot. Like it's like
that's
a big long
totally
game.
True. Yeah, that is true. You know, and another thing that was really interesting because you mentioned that was we also talked a lot about where the safety protocols seemed to work and where maybe they didn't work as well. And one of the things that I found really strange is the dots you were talking about and the real social distancing where people stood on the dots happened 75% of the time, always outside when they were cast members. But very often when you went inside for the queue, the social distance markers either disappeared or people totally ignored them and they were like mosh pits. And it was very strange because you would go from everybody being really careful to all of a sudden inside, you know, maybe a foot apart between parties and people sort of crowding together in huge groups where you didn't know whether or not they were in a separate group. And it ended up feeling inside really no different than it did before COVID, which made us a little bit uncomfortable, though ultimately we seem to have been fine and others seem to have been fine. But that was really, really strange and really inconsistent as well throughout our trip.
Yeah, that's a bummer. It's a bummer that people need babysitters to do the right thing.
Yeah, it was. It's just sort of that system seemed to break down when you were inside at every park and basically every ride. So that was a little bit of a concern in terms of safety over the course of the trip. Anyway, from there, we went over to Expedition Everest. Sally loves thrill rides, but she's also afraid of them. And she'll go on the major headliner thrill rides and love them. And then the next time we go back, she'll sort of forget that she loved them and she'll be afraid again. And this was a sort of funny one where in line, she was really nervous. And by the time we got onto our, I don't remember what they call the ride vehicle, she was sobbing hysterical. I can't do this. You know, the ride started. She was almost hyperventilating. I want to get off. I can't do this. And then she did it. The ride ended. She sort of meekly said, like, could we do this one more time? Because I really want to conquer my fear. We did it again. There was no line. She said, can we go on it a third time? And I said, I don't think I can do that. But you go by yourself. And she ran on and had the greatest time and then just wanted to do Expedition Everest again.
Wow. Look at that trajectory of bravery.
Yeah. But ask me the next time we go and she'll probably cry and say she can't do it again. But yeah, it's an intense ride. That moment
it is
backwards, that very last second where you sort of turn and you're disoriented, it gets me a bit.
Me too. I have to scream to not pass out. It is. Those G-forces hit you as you get older.
Yes. I didn't try that strategy, but maybe next time. So anyway, that was really fun. And that was definitely a highlight. And then we stopped for dinner at Setuli Canteen, which I think is excellent. So, so good.
Jonathan, I am tracking your path in my head and you are getting a lot of steps in.
We did get a lot of steps. We did. Yeah, we didn't, you know, again, when we really plan our touring plans and we stay in a land or stay in an area, especially Animal Kingdom, I think we did a lot of crisscrossing, but we didn't mind it. And it was cool by this point and we weren't tired and our feet weren't hurting. And we are New Yorkers, so we are used to 20,000 steps on a regular basis. It didn't really bother us.
Okay.
But yes, we did some crisscrossing.
All right. So Setuli Canteen was delicious, as usual.
Delicious. I think it's so good. I think it is by far the best quick service in a park. And that, I think it's the blueberry cheesecake mousse.
Mm-hmm.
So good and so beautiful, so Instagrammable. We love it. One of the things we had been tracking had been wait time for Dinosaur because Sally really loves it and I like it, but not enough to wait in line for an hour and a half. So we had been tracking it. And another thing that was weird on the trip, as I'm sure you've heard and talked to other people about, is that the posted wait times are really, really not right oftentimes. You know, usually we were finding the wait times were 50 to 60% of what was posted. But what was also weird is I am a big user of the Touring Plans Line app, which posts the posted wait times, but also what they call the actual. And so often they are spot on. Sometimes it's even spooky. They'll say 37 minutes and it will be 37 minutes. But on this trip, they were so incorrect so many times that the best example was Dinosaur that was saying, maybe it was saying 75 minutes or something that was just outrageous. And even the Touring Plans Line app was saying, you know, maybe it was saying 80 minutes. It was saying 5 minutes longer than the posted wait time. And we were getting near the end of the night and we really did want to ride it. So I said, let's just go over and check it out and maybe even ask a cast member if it looks like this is accurate. So P.S., we go in, we wait in line. It's 22 minutes, even though Touring Plans says 80 minutes and the posted wait time was, I think, 75. It was 22 minutes. And I asked a cast member afterwards, just out of curiosity, you know, hey, are you finding or hearing that the posted wait times are significantly different than usual? And I got an explanation from someone that I don't know if it completely makes sense to me, but she said something because of COVID, the lines, the posted wait times are much more static than usual. And because they don't have people carrying those little passes that oftentimes they give you in line that I guess would show the actual wait time, They're not changing the posted wait times as often as they used to. They've cut that in half. So oftentimes they're widely distorted because they simply haven't changed them to post what was actually happening as often as they used to. So I thought that was interesting. And over the course of our time there, the best indicator for us is a lot of times we would just physically see the line, especially if we had ridden a line before, and say, hey, it's half as long as it was yesterday or earlier today. That must mean it's half as long as we waited. And that was pretty accurate.
Yeah, I agree. That seems to be a best method, but you do have to recalibrate what looks like a long line because of the distancing. So there's a lot of factors at play, but yeah, good for people to know.
Yeah, for sure. And I think after that, we walked around a little bit. We looked at the Christmas decorations. It was the first time we had ever seen Christmas there, and it's so beautiful and so unique to each park, which I think is really cool. And then we did get to see the tree awakening and the Christmas show, which was really beautiful. This sort of snowy village and an owl with the Nutcracker music playing. It was really nice. And a little side note, something that I didn't like on this trip, which seems really petty. We did not hear any Disney music. We only heard Christmas music, which is really nice. But I have to say, being there for 7 days, I missed so much hearing some of the traditional Disney music, music from the movies. You know, we heard, it felt like it was the same loop of Christmas music at the resorts and at every park over and over and over again. And I was a little bit bummed that it wasn't mixed in with some traditional Disney music, because we didn't hear any, I don't think, unless I missed it.
That's interesting.
You would expect
it to be more of a mix.
Yeah, it got sort of tiresome by the last day. Anyway, yeah. Our bus was there as soon as we walked to the bus lane, and we were the only people on the bus, and we had a great day. And, you know, we went back to the resort and kind of unpacked to prepare for the fact that it was technically a school night.
Yeah, what a bummer, because this was a Sunday. And
this was a Sunday.
School was in session on Monday. So I want to hear how you managed to balance that. How did Monday go?
Yeah, Monday went well. You know what? The school was actually easy. We primarily did classes in the room because the lobbies are distracting. It's hard to focus on school when there's so much to see and so many people to look at. And of course, then you have to keep your mask on downstairs and sit on a couch away from people. So for the most part, she did her schoolwork and I did my work in the room, or because the room was small and there weren't different sections, I mostly went on my computer sort of on the grounds outside at Riviera or while I was walking. But she would stay focused in her room for the majority of the day. We had a nice balcony that you could sort of say was overlooking the parking lot, or you could just not look down. And then you got some great views of some of the icons at Epcot and Hollywood Studios that were really cool. Mm-hmm. And also Riviera is, as you know, it's very close to Caribbean Beach. It's a really nice walk and there's a really nice loop. So I enjoyed wandering around one of the resorts that I've never stayed at and doing some work as I walking as I talked on the phone and had some meetings. We would break for lunch every day and go down to this excellent quick service called Primo Piatto.
I think that's right.
It's really good. They've sort of upped the ante in terms of quick service there. Mm-hmm. The food is really fresh. It feels like it's made for you. I think it is. Again, it was very quiet. It was all mobile ordering, and we ended up eating lunch there 4 days in a row because it was that good and sort of that easy.
I love it. And for people staying at Caribbean Beach, they could mobile order and walk on over and try that too.
Yes. Yeah. We didn't think to do the opposite and mobile order from Caribbean Beach. But that would have been a nice idea to mix it up a little bit, because I think I told you beforehand, one of my favorite things at Disney is just getting to know the different sort of businesses and the different resorts I find to be as enjoyable as attractions and being in the parks. And then at lunch that first day, we jumped on the Skyliner to to Caribbean Beach, just because it's an attraction in itself. And we rode it over there and it was amazing. And then we rode it back home. And I think that was during quote unquote recess.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. So you just basically just hopped over Caribbean Beach Resort to the other end.
Yes. And it's so easy. And at least in the middle of the day, those as well are just walk-ons. And it's a 3-minute walk from the resort to the station. And it was terrific. The Skyliner is great. We absolutely loved it. I would choose to stay at a Skyliner resort, I think, over a monorail resort in a heartbeat, just mm-hmm. based on the Skyliner as transportation. It's really cool.
I agree. That's a very good point. I actually don't think the monorail is very fast, but the Skyliner, you get the experience and the speed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was great. And then that was school ended, and that was our first Magic Kingdom day on Monday.
Did you say it was roughly 3 o'clock that school ended?
It was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we headed over at exactly 3 o'clock. We took a bus. We didn't wait very long. I think we were the only people on the bus again. And there we really went sort of slow because there was so much to see in terms of Christmas decorations. We really enjoyed walking around, seeing what the shops were doing. And, you know, that day we primarily did the headliners. Same thing. It was so strange. It was like the headliners would have maybe 30, 40 minute waits, which are not a big deal. And then other things that we take for granted, like Mickey's PhilharMagic and Country Bears, were like 45-minute waits. And I'm sure it's because of social distancing and maybe because other rides were busy, but we just couldn't justify waiting for things that we can usually walk right into. So we didn't end up doing any of them. This first day, we were really excited about Splash Mountain. She loves it. We know it's closing at some point soon. And that was another one of those strange things where the wait was showing 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes. And so we waited, figuring when it gets dark out, the lines will drop dramatically. And at least in terms of the posted wait time and touring plans, they didn't. Surprise, surprise, an hour before the park closed, we decided we were just going to wait in line. And it was posted at 35 minutes and it was a walk-on, and we rode it 3 times in a row without waiting at all, which was
wow,
really weird, but whatever, it worked. We got on it and we loved it. We rode Big Thunder. We had a kind of strange experience there, which was raining a little bit, and we waited in line, and the wait was about 40 minutes. It was actually long. And when we got into the corral, right before you sit down, they stopped running the ride, and they told everybody to leave. They weren't giving the option of waiting. Maybe they saw lightning in the area. And they offered everybody who was sitting in a car the opportunity to come back with a fast pass. But those of us who were not, nothing, and they wouldn't let us stay. And it felt a little bit sort of inequitable, I guess. And I know they have to have a system because who gets fast passes to come back and who didn't. But we were in the corral maybe 20 seconds from getting on the ride. And so I did wander up to guest relations, which I don't usually do. And I did sort of mention that I thought that was a little bit strange. And we had asked the cast member if we could wait, and she was maybe a little bit flustered, but she wasn't particularly hospitable or understanding. And she just sort of said, like, something to the effect of, like, that's the way it is. And our rule is that we only offer fast passes to people who are sitting inside. And the cast member was really nice. And she did take my Magic Band and she did load it for us to ride later. And I've always noticed something that I have always found to be interesting on the times that we do go to guest relations, and we certainly don't go often, and we certainly don't complain often. I'm not sure if you've ever noticed, but sometimes they'll sort of be looking at their iPads and typing things in for what seems to be a very long period of time. And I've always wondered why that was. And I did get to talk talking to a cast member at one of the restaurants. And however it ended up, that came up. And I asked if they knew why sometimes it takes so long. And this server said, oh, as a matter of fact, my roommate works in guest relations at Hollywood Studios. And yes, the reason is they are oftentimes looking for perpetual complainers and people who try to game the system. And they look at your history of how many times you've asked for or gotten fast passes before they decide what they're going to offer you. Sort of like that, the Uber thing where they used to say, if you have a bad rating, they're not going to pick you up. And
oh my
gosh. I thought
gosh.
That was really interesting.
Imagine if we have customer ratings within their system.
For sure. But
that's interesting.
This cast member said, yes, they look through the whole history to make sure you're not someone who's chronically going and trying to get free fast passes. And now, of course, anytime I go to guest relations, I'm going to time how long they're looking at their iPad and get nervous that there's a no soup for you sort of a star next to my name. Anyway,
ask them. We'd ask, what's my rating?
Right.
But also, I want credit. If I'm there for compliments or for good reasons, I want credit added back to my customer rating.
Exactly. I agree. I'd love to get a chance to see what they're saying about us. But anyway, we rode Big Thunder a little bit later. My phone fell out of my pocket on Big Thunder. I noticed it 15 seconds later. I ran back. They were holding in their hands the cast member, and that was a very big relief.
Wow, close
That's
call.
A terrible feeling, by the way. Yes. We rode the Speedway with an 8-minute wait. I don't love the Speedway, but an 8-minute wait is like a walk-on. And this is the first time that Sally ever rode in her own car, and she got a really big thrill. She really enjoyed that. We rode Space Mountain.
How does she feel about Space Mountain?
She loves it. That is actually her favorite ride. She's not afraid of it. I think sometimes with kids, it's a little bit arbitrary what scares them and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. She's afraid of loops and she's afraid of going backwards, but she's not afraid of other roller coasters. And Space Mountain, I think she would say, is her favorite ride. Space Mountain is also this trip where we discovered the app called Play Disney, which is really fun and really passes the time. Sometimes to the detriment when the line is moving fast of actually being able to walk as fast as you need to walk in line. Mm-hmm. For example, on Space Mountain, you're looking for codes in the wall and she would want to sort of stop and dilly-dally, but the line was moving so fast that we didn't have time to. But we rode Space Mountain. We walked over to Peter Pan, which I've never done without a fast pass.
Another queue.
And it's a great queue. This is really interesting, too, because the queue started in Columbia Harbor House, the quick serve restaurant. So it's a weird start. And it's very far away. And the restaurant is closed. It's also one of my favorite quick service. So I was a little bit bummed. But we had an entire queue through Columbia Harbor House and then through the actual Peter Pan queue. And it's great. And that room where you see the kids' bedrooms and Tinkerbell is there, like we wish that we didn't have to walk through so fast because it's like going to an exhibit or a museum. It's terrific. So that was a really quick 30 minutes for us. I'm trying to see what else. We did make a stop after that for it's like a Christmas taco, ice cream taco that they have at Pecos Bill's, which was really good and really Instagrammable.
Aren't they all nowadays?
They are. Some of them are so beautiful. And it's funny too, because Sally being a tween now, she's all about TikTok. And so a lot of this trip was her making TikTok videos of our time together and making sure to include magical little things like food or merchandise that she had found that she thought was really neat. But I think there's a TikTok video posted of each day and she had a ball making them. And I don't love her to be on her phone a lot, but, and I don't know how I feel about TikTok, but I will say that as an activity walking through the park, it was really fun and fun to watch her get a little bit creative and make these TikTok videos to post.
I also love TikTok, and I need to know what Sally's TikTok name is so I can follow her and see her daily vlogs, because
I will give it to you and give it to everybody.
That's actually what I plan. That's actually what I plan to do on my next trip, is do daily 60-second recaps of the day for TikTok. I wanted to mention, because you said Columbia Harbor House is a favorite, but it was closed after you were there. They started offering some of the Columbia Harbor House stuff at Tomorrowland Terrace. So if people are interested in that food, it's confusingly available at Tomorrowland Terrace now.
That I had heard that, and we were a little bit bummed. And like, what better environment to eat fish and chips or a lobster roll than Tomorrowland Terrace?
So, I know, right? Listen, yes. Nothing makes sense this year, so why not?
I know that's true. You're right. But I actually think the food is really good. I usually go out of my way for that. So yes. I had hoped to eat that actually for dinner that night or two nights later, but we didn't have the opportunity. Anyway, but for dinner, we did go to Be Our Guest. The first time that we've eaten dinner. Yeah. And we liked it. It reminds me a lot of the cruise ship restaurants at dinner. The way they serve and the menus and some of the way they present the food. But it was, you know, I've always heard sort of mediocre things about dinner. It is expensive, but I thought it was good. I had a really nice sort of vegetarian tortellini dish that was pretty and was pretty good. And she had sort of the typical mac and cheese that was fine. But it was much more civilized than lunch that we've had there. And the food was better. And I thought the dessert was really clever. For kids, at least, they give them like a deconstructed gray stuff. So it's a white chocolate. I think it's supposed to be chip, maybe. And they give them edible paint and a paintbrush. And they can paint their own white chocolate cup. And she thought that was the coolest thing ever.
That's super cute.
So it was, it was worth it. Also, interestingly, because I think you're getting this theme, I love to talk to cast members and sort of dig about what it's like to work there. And one of the other things that was really interesting that we learned from our server at Be Our Guest, I sort of said, and I usually say, how long have you worked here? And he said, well, actually, I don't work here. I work at Artist Point at Wilderness Lodge, but I've been moved here temporarily, and this is my second night. And we got to talking, and I asked a little bit more, and he was explaining that after all of these furloughs, because they've had such limited shifts for people, they're going almost exclusively on seniority and full-time people versus part-time people, and that everybody he knows is generally working at a different restaurant than they normally work at during COVID. And that was interesting, because I did feel like a lot of the servers had a renewed energy. Usually they're amazing, but sometimes you get people who have worked at the same restaurant for 10 years and they're a little bit tired. And this was very new to most of the servers we had at our sit-down restaurants, but also, and we didn't care, there was a lot more of, oh, let me go check on that. I don't know the answer because I don't usually or really work here, which was also interesting. A lot of temporary people.
A lot of extra patience needed as cast members adjust, for sure. Another example of this that I just learned this week is the guy that is the host of the Disney live streams, Mark Daniel. He is a historian at the Frozen Sing-Along now. So you just never know who's going to pop up where.
For sure. Yeah. But I actually don't think any of our servers at any restaurant had regularly worked at that restaurant, which I thought was really different and really interesting. But it gave us things to chat about with all of these cast members and sort of hear their stories. And we really enjoy that. And I think for the most part, they like when guests take interest in them and appreciate them. So that was really fun.
I agree. And the cast members that are remaining, like you said, are full-time ones, and they're not temporary, seasonal, and so they likely do have stories to tell and a history.
Yes. Yeah. So we got a lot of that. I'll tell you, I was going to wait till the end on this, but one of the really interesting conversations I had with a cast member was our Uber driver to the airport at the end of the trip, who had been a true career bartender at what used to be Pleasure Island. And he worked for Disney for I think it was 32 years, which is a long time, mm-hmm. always as a bartender, never anything but a bartender. But he was talking about a lot of his friends who are servers. And he was talking a little bit about the kinds of livings that they make, which I'm always fascinated by because you hear so much about, you know, hourly people who make, you know, not great livings, but choose to stay there because it's a great lifestyle. And, you know, raises can be 25 cents. And we talked to someone who had worked there for 12 years and she'd just gotten a raise to $15 an hour. Well, he was telling us about his closest friend who has been a career server at one of your and my favorite restaurants, California Grill. Mm-hmm. Do you know, and you can mute this part out or cut this if it's not appropriate, his friend on a good year makes $250,000 a year as a server. Mm. Mind-blowing to me.
Yeah,
the chasm.
Yes, that is hugely different. I did assume they made good money given the amount of time that most people stay, particularly at California Grill.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. It may have been an extreme example, but I found that interesting. Anyway, back to the trip.
But I want to ask you a question because you talked about a couple of days of your trip so far. What has the weather been like? Because you've done water rides.
We have.
So what were you, how did you, what was the weather like while you were there?
The weather thus far was nice. It was probably in the high 60s during the day and would drop to the mid 50s at night. And we would put on sweatshirts and we were okay. It changed over the course of the trip and later it changed pretty extremely. But so far it felt like Disneyland to me. Nice and moderate and sort of easy to, you're not sweating, but you're not cold.
If a sweatshirt is required, it always reminds me of Disneyland, which is why the sweatshirt I bought for Disneyland, I only use it at Disney World usually 1 month a year in January. Disney World is just so hot, usually. But yeah. At least
this
you had,
was nice.
It's good. Some people in the north especially really want a chance to swim, though. So sometimes that 60-degree temperature isn't quite warm enough.
I'm going to get to that tomorrow.
All right.
That was the beginning of my story.
Okay. Yes. Well, I was reading your mind.
That's so funny. So the next day was Tuesday. She was in school. We mobile ordered from Primo Piatto for breakfast, which was very good, but a little more typical Mickey waffles and the same eggs you get elsewhere. I did some laundry, which is very nice. It's free for DVC members and was also empty and very easy. And then I said, gee, you know, we love water slides. We love checking out the pools. We should probably try to take one swim. And she had I think it was a 45-minute quote unquote study hall at 10:30. And the pool had opened, the featured pool. And so we went to swim and that was not very successful. It was cold in the morning and we were the only people at the pool, which she found to be a little bit creepy, but also this is the one place that they tell you, please don't wear a mask while you're swimming. And I think that it has been hammered into her psychologically for so long that you must wear a mask outside that she got really uncomfortable. And so we went down the slide one time to say that we did it. And she said, I actually don't really want to be here. Can we please go back to the room? So we left and there were 7 lifeguards on duty, which I thought was really interesting, but there was no one at the pool when we left. But the pool was very nice. It's not a memorable pool at Riviera, but it is, you know, it was very nice and there's a nice hot tub and we spent 6 minutes there and that was it. We checked it off our list and never swam again on this trip.
Very quickly checked it off your list.
We did. And then this was our Epcot day, our first Epcot day after school. So we got to take the Skyliner.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say,
which was great.
Lovely transport.
Oh, so easy and so fun. We started at the Land Pavilion. We didn't spend a lot of time slowly walking around because the park is in rough shape right now with all the construction and all the walls. And there's not a lot of sort of photograph opportunities. Although I did hear that I think the day after we left, they took some walls down and we could have seen the fountain, but we didn't.
Just today, they have revealed the pylons and the fountain at the front of the park. So at least that part is nicer.
Yeah. So we walked over to the Land Pavilion, and Soren had an 8-minute wait, and we love Soren, and that was fun. They kind of let everybody sit where they wanted, as opposed to the usual drill where they assign you a row outside and then you walk in a very orderly fashion in. There were seats that were obviously designated as open or closed, but it was sort of grab whatever you want. And we walked to the front row, which I think is a much better experience. And no one else had claimed the middle. And we had a great ride on Soarin', and we always love it. I find it really magical. And it's one of those also kind of nostalgic things for us that we just always, we always remember and always is particularly special on that ride. We always hold hands. It's very sweet.
Oh, that's so cute. I am nice. Perplexed by the open seating. What a weird concept. That's one where they're so strict weird. About, you know, this is your row, the stand on your dot. Like, you know, that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, we stood on dots while Putty from Seinfeld gave his video speech.
Yeah.
I don't remember his real name, but then it was just sort of like, okay, everybody walk in. And there were only about 3-4, maybe there were 12 people in the entire room with us. So
okay.
Maybe that's why.
I'm guessing.
Don't know.
They didn't have to be strict because it didn't matter so much.
Yeah, yeah. That was great. And then we stayed in the Land Pavilion. We did live in with the land, which is, I think I told you beforehand, I sort of said to her before, we're going to do some educational things because you're in school and these are things that maybe normally you would say no thank you, but I'd like to experience them and, you know, we're going to do them. So one of those was Living with the Land, which was a walk-on, and it was fine. I don't know that I would ride it often, but it was fine. And they had some holiday decorations up in the ride, which were interesting, and we learned some things. And I think it's fun to see how some of the foods that we eat grow that we've never seen actually grow. So I'm glad we did it, and we probably won't do it for a couple years again, but that was nice. And
during the holidays, it's a little better at night.
Yeah.
It's a little better at night because they have lights.
See it at night.
Yeah, that's the right now. Night. That would be the trick.
Okay, maybe next time. And then we did Awesome Planet, which we've never done before, which I guess is on a continuous loop. So maybe we waited 6 or 7 minutes until the next show. And I really liked that, actually. As a film, it was funny and it was beautiful. And I thought it was really interesting. And, you know, it doesn't have any of the really many of the Disney special effects that sometimes you expect in the movies. There's a little maybe lightning, but otherwise it's pretty straightforward. But I liked it, and she liked it as well. So I thought that was a good mix of education. It was very Epcot to me.
It has a good message.
Yes.
It's fairly new, you know, fairly recent. So if people haven't experienced it, it's just in the land, and it's usually really easy to get in there.
Yeah, yeah. So we liked that. And from there, we didn't cross the whole park. We just walked over to Test Track, and that was a 25-minute wait. And she loves that. You know, right now you skip the making of your own car, and I've never known if that really affects when you race another person or not, but that isn't happening right now, nor are you racing another car. You're just racing against yourself right now. Mm-hmm. But we enjoyed that. And from there, it was dinner time, and we ate at Teppanito, where I've never eaten before, but we like that sort of style. We go to Benihana sometimes here in New York City, and we thought we would try it. It's never really been on my radar. In fact, when we went to it in the Japan Pavilion, it's kind of hidden away up some stairs, and I realized I had never even noticed it existed, but we had a good experience. There's this very interesting Japanese soda. I can only spell it Ramune, which they presented to Sally. And somehow you push a carbonation ball from the top of the soda into the actual drink. Mm-hmm. And that's how the soda is carbonated. And it was really cool. And I've never seen anything like it. And it was so unique and so magical. Apparently they sell them downstairs as well. But that was a really cool little thing that...
That's fun. I'm writing it down. I feel like I've heard of that with beer or something, but with soda. But now I'm going to Google it.
I've never seen anything like it. And the food was good and the show was good. It's a very Disney-fied if you've been to Benihana or any of those others, sometimes they're a little bit risque and they're a little bit dirty and they do some funny things that are a little adult. Here they don't. It's very Disney. And Sally and I had already made a bet. I said, I'll bet you they either make the fried rice into a Mickey head or they pour the oil onto the grill into a Mickey head. And sure enough, within 2 minutes, they had done both of those mm-hmm. and we both won the bet. But it was a good meal and we enjoyed it. And we went downstairs and shopped at that Japanese department store that I think is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. We walked around the countries a little bit, but nothing major. And we took the Skyliner home because they closed at 9:00. And the Skyliner at night is extra beautiful. And we just loved it. And we went to bed because it was a school night.
And that was Tuesday, right?
That was Tuesday. Yes.
These are really fun after school activities.
Right? Who gets better than this kind of thing after school? Well, it'll never happen. Well, we hope it never happens again, but it'll probably never happen again.
Listen to what I learned on TikTok recently, that they have theme park nannies that take local children with annual passes after school to the theme parks.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
Isn't that fun?
I didn't know that. Wow.
I know. Yes, what a job. And then the kids, instead of going to daycare or whatever they would normally do, they get to go to the theme parks with their annual pass. I think that's so fun.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing. Amazing. So then we get to Wednesday, which was the day that we were supposed to move from the Riviera to the boardwalk. And that was our big snafu of the trip. The normal move would have been super easy, especially for us. We did bring our bags down to what's the name of the booth where they handle your bags and hold them?
Bell Services?
I just blanked out. Yeah, Bell Services, where they would move our luggage and also our refrigerated stuff because we had ordered Amazon because we knew we'd be in the room a bit more and didn't want to have to rely on restaurants for every snack and every breakfast. And in this case, the Skyliner went over to Epcot and then it's a quick walk over to Boardwalk. And that was our plan. However, this is where we had our only kind of difficult situation, which had nothing to do with Disney and everything to do with us. I can't quite explain why, but we checked into the Boardwalk and I could see Sally was getting a little bit uncomfortable. And we went to the room to put our stuff down. And she burst into tears and she said, I cannot stay here. I'm so afraid of this resort. She was terrified of the clowns and the lobby. And something went off in her where she was having what seemed to be a panic attack. And she was in hysterics. And she said, please, I can't stay here. I am so scared of this place. And I didn't know what to do. And we sort of went outside to the boardwalk and I called the main DVC number and I said, this is probably a crazy situation and I'm sure there's no availability, but my daughter is really anxious about this resort. Do you have any other DVC resort that we can stay in? And they did have availability at Saratoga Springs and Old Key West and also the Boulder Ridge section of Copper Creek and the Polynesian, but we didn't have enough points to switch there. And so we made the decision to leave Boardwalk, which selfishly I was really disappointed mm-hmm. about because I was really excited to stay there. And I think I had told you that my bucket list is to stay at every DVC resort. And we had made reservations for meals around the Boardwalk and we had planned the parks where we could walk to Hollywood Studios and Epcot. But we made the change and we ended up moving to Boulder Ridge, and there was a not very important story there, which was that the DVC representative said there's availability here at Boulder Ridge for the same number of points, but you need to make the reservation by going to the front desk at Boardwalk and asking them to please move you. And I didn't think to ask for the woman's name who I spoke to at DVC, but I hung up and I went over to Boardwalk and I said to the woman at check-in, hey, we're not comfortable staying here. It's not you. Just somehow the theme is making my daughter nervous. We'd like to move to Boulder Ridge where there's availability. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. we can't do that for you. I'm just part of this resort. And I thought, oh, right, that makes sense. Of course, that wouldn't be your job. You're not DVC. You're just the person who works the front desk. And it ended up taking about half an hour of her calling supervisors. And it was a little strange. She sort of argued with me a bit that we shouldn't be scared, and that if we were talking about the creepy clown pool, that wasn't open right now and was covered in scaffolding. And she didn't really understand why my daughter was scared. And I ended up ultimately just saying, like, look, this isn't something I really want to negotiate with you. We'd like to move. I'm told there's availability. I'll make any phone call you tell me, but, you know, we just like to start the moving process because we don't want to spend our whole day here. And they did move us, and they were nice enough also to reroute our bags and our refrigerated food that were on the way from Riviera to Boardwalk over to Boulder Ridge. And we moved over there, and Sally was really relieved, and she was really appreciative. And I don't know what it was that really set her off, but it just didn't feel like it was worth it to me. So we moved over to Boulder Ridge, and that sort of changed the end of our trip. But that's where we checked in. And from there, it was really smooth. You know, that was kind of a bummer. And one thing I'll mention is that my home resort is Copper Creek. And so we've stayed at the Wilderness Lodge twice. I love the Wilderness Lodge. I wish we had stayed selfishly at Boardwalk for myself. But I have to tell you, that Christmas tree and the Christmas decorations at Wilderness Lodge almost made it worth it anyways, because that tree is gorgeous. And the whole theme around Christmas is so magical. And I love that resort. And I realized by the end of this trip that I do think it's my favorite resort. It's just perfection to me. It's like, it takes you into another place, and the theming is so incredible, and the grounds are so beautiful, and I love it. I will say, though, that we have only stayed in Copper Creek, and it's a relatively new DVC resort, and I love the rooms. But Boulder Ridge, the building is really cool, but I don't know if you've stayed in those rooms, but they are tired. They are in some serious need of renovations.
We stayed there on one of our trips back, and I actually, the Wi-Fi was one of the hardest parts, in addition to the rooms being old. So I wonder if you ran into Wi-Fi issues because you were working and doing school.
We did a bit. There was definitely a difference between Riviera and also the lobby of the Wilderness Lodge and the Wi-Fi in Boulder Ridge. So, you know, the room felt spacious because we had been in a tower studio, and there was lots of different areas and a really nice balcony overlooking the cabins and the water. And I don't even know if that's standard. We didn't even ask about the view. We just took the one room they said they had left. But man, those rooms are tired, and everything is scuffed and stained. And I know they're being renovated soon, but I don't think I would stay in a Boulder Ridge room again until they're renovated, because they're really not in great shape. But we were grateful to be moved. Honestly, I didn't expect that to happen, so it was fine for us.
Yes, I know that's a tricky situation to be in. As a parent of a child with anxiety disorder, sometimes things don't make sense to other people, and you just have to flow with it. So,
yeah. So we did. Anyway, so this was Wednesday, and it had started to rain, and the forecast showed rain the rest of the night. So we got our ponchos, and we headed over to Magic Kingdom. It was our second and last day there. The wait times were pretty low that night, generally, because I think of the rain, and it was chilly. And, you know, the same thing. Most of the big attractions had pretty low wait times, but the filler attractions had long ones. We hit Big Thunder again. We waited for our first ride on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. That was about 30 minutes, which was pretty great given what the line usually is. We had our traditional Dole Whip. We actually tried with a twist of raspberry this time that we really liked. We hit up the Hall of Presidents, which she's never done. And we had skipped last time, because we were a little bit worried about any conflict for political reasons. I had heard some things that maybe people in the audience didn't get along during that, but we did want to see it. And I have to say, I thought it was really good. It was much more than I had expected. I thought the curtains went up and the audio animatronics were there giving speeches, but some of the projections and the story I thought were really interesting. And, you know, I was really impressed by the audio animatronics. And, you know, again, as your child gets older, she was aware of a lot of the presidents and she had studied them in school and she loved seeing who they were when they introduced themselves at the end. I really liked it. You know, there was an interesting moment when the current president spoke that half the people in there, you know, didn't make a sound and half were clapping. And, you know, without getting into my own politics, we didn't clap, but she was a little bit shocked, I think, to hear supporters, because the truth is we live in a bubble because we live in Brooklyn and we don't see a lot of other parts of the country or come into contact with people who maybe are supporters. And that was a little bit interesting for us to see. And, you know, now we sort of can't wait to go back to see how they change and retrofit for a new president. I know it'll be down for a while, but I really liked it.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of is the when there's a State of the Union address and only like half of Congress will clap and the other half won't or whatever. That's kind of what it reminds me of.
Yes, yes, yes. But, you know, we kept our mouth shut and, you know, we're glad that we went. I'm really glad that we saw it. And then I discovered something else that was interesting. We had not made dinner plans and we were going to mobile order. And now it was probably around, I'm going to say 6:30, and the park closed at 8. And what I noticed as the day went on is that some of the quick serve restaurants no longer let you mobile order, I guess because they were busy or there was a long wait for food. But by the time we decided to order dinner, at least half the restaurants were no longer on mobile order. And our choices then were only Cosmic Rays and Pecos Bills and nothing else. And we ended up doing Cosmic Rays because we wanted to go on Space Mountain. And I had never eaten there. I'd always heard it wasn't very good. And I think it was the only meal I had that I would say was closer to maybe amusement park food than theme park food. I had a big hot dog, and actually I had the biggest hot dog I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, and nothing else. And it wasn't very good, but it was quick and we were starving and we ate it. And that had been the meal I had hoped to find Columbia Harbor House food at Tomorrowland Terrace, but it either hadn't opened yet or it wasn't available any longer that night.
It was so close, Jonathan, because was this the 16th?
This was the 17th, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think it was the 17th.
17th is when it was supposed to start. So maybe it hadn't yet. But
we didn't get it.
Yeah, but maybe this is a good tip, though, because you said the options were limited, that on maybe busier days, the mobile orders can be placed anytime so you can reserve your slot or whatever. So you'll have more choices.
Yeah. Yeah, we found that later in the trip. On our last day, which was at Hollywood Studios, we had wanted to mobile order from Woody's Lunchbox. Mm-hmm. And I went on to mobile order at maybe 4 o'clock for like a heavy snack. But the only time slot available was an hour and 45 minutes later, which was too late for us. And then about half an hour later, I went to do it for dinner and it was totally gone. So I guess they must work like fast passes. At some point, they're booked the rest of the night and you can't order. So I think that's an interesting tip that I wish I had known earlier in the trip, but I didn't realize until Wednesday night.
Yep. Makes sense.
So the rest of our night was spent on Space Mountain. We went on it three times in a row. By the end of the night, it was walk-on, and that was our night. So, you know, we mostly did headliners, and we didn't do a lot of the rides that we usually do. We didn't do anything in Fantasyland. We didn't end up doing Haunted Mansion that we love or Pirates. They both had pretty long waits, longer waits than the mountains. And we went home because it was a school night and they closed at 8 o'clock. And I ended up going over to Geyser Point at Wilderness Lodge. She went to the room because she was tired and I had a beer and I had a bison burger. And I have to say the food there is great. And I think that is a terrific place, kind of adult, but not too much so. And it kind of feels like something to me that would be at Disney Springs, but I really like it a lot. I think it's a great place to eat and sort of unwind after a day at the park.
And for those looking for outdoor dining, it's a great option.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's true. We did try to do as much outdoor dining as we could. We had a couple meals that were indoors, but same thing. We were definitely spaced away from people, but we were also very aware that there were people relatively near us without masks on, and servers would come very close to you. And we were a tiny bit uncomfortable. But again, it all worked out fine. But guys, your point, yeah, it's really nice and outdoors and really beautiful. And the food's really good.
But speaking of dining, did you have to rearrange dining reservations when you changed resorts?
We did cancel. We were going to eat at Trattoria. Is it El Forno? El Forno. Mm-hmm. But we didn't end up making any additional reservations. We decided just kind of to wing it and do some quick service. And we're not huge breakfast people. And that was a breakfast reservation. So we didn't end up replacing it with a different big breakfast.
Can we go back to one? Topolino's?
Yeah, I just gasped because I remembered that I skipped over going to Topolino's.
Okay, let's talk about that because it was right at your hotel.
Yes. So we did do that on Wednesday before we moved out. On Wednesday, before we switched resorts, we did have breakfast at Topolino's. It was excellent. The food is very good. The breakfast is really delicious. The restaurant's beautiful. You know, we saw the characters, their outfits are really cute. You know, they sort of came near us and we could have taken some selfies, but we ended up not. But we really enjoyed the breakfast. I would love to have dinner there. We walked around the restaurant at the end and went outside and saw this beautiful patio with such a great view that I'm sure when there are nighttime spectaculars are probably great. Mm-hmm. And we had a really good experience. I mean, it's, you know, again, it's very expensive for the food. Mm-hmm. Was it $35 or $40, I think, for breakfast?
I don't think you can get away. I don't think you can do a character meal for much less than that at Disney World.
Yeah, that's true. And that's also, you know, when your child isn't a huge eater and is right on the cusp of being a kid and not a kid, there are moments that I'm like, oh man, like an extra $25 because she's a year older. But another thing that was interesting on this trip, at least with all the mobile ordering, is I actually don't know the answer to this. She's 11 and a half. Were we permitted to order kids meals at quick service places, or was she really supposed to be 9?
No, I order kids meals a lot.
Oh, good.
But the only
that a lot.
The only time you're not permitted is when it's a fixed price meal, which you see a lot at character meals in particular. That's the only time. But everywhere else, you can order as little or as much as you want. It doesn't matter.
That's great. I actually was always confused about that, and now I feel better because we didn't do anything dishonest. So good. We did order appropriately and we did pay for an adult breakfast at Topolino. So I'd love to try dinner there. I could see it becoming a favorite restaurant like California Grill.
That's high praise.
Yeah. So where are we now? Thursday. Mm-hmm. Thursday was probably our least memorable day. We both worked at the resort. We did have to go into the lobby a couple times for internet. I spent some time and really walked the resort, which I enjoyed while she was in school. We ended up being a little bit lazy and we weren't extremely excited about Epcot like the other parks. I think that we didn't find there to be quite as much to do. You know, there aren't a ton of attractions, as you know. And again, some of the attractions like Figment and the ride in the Mexico Pavilion kind of have long waits compared to usual. So we didn't really rush over and we didn't end up getting there until about 4 o'clock. And when we were there, we were a little bit uninspired. Maybe if we had had a break day, that should have been it. But we did Soarin' again. We did wait online for the Frozen Never After ride, which we hadn't done before. We checked out the Epcot Lounge because why not? get a free soda and see what's happening up there, and charge our phone. And
it's DVC exclusive, just FYI for people listening.
Yes, I'm sorry. It is DVC exclusive.
I'm not a DVC member, so I feel this very strongly. I can only go when I have a DVC friend with me.
Yeah, and it's fine. I mean, it's a nice little thing to have to get off your feet, but it isn't anything particularly special.
I like the gummy bears. When they used to serve the gummy bears there, they were my favorite.
Yeah, so everything is obviously prepackaged now, and they bring things to you. And all they had actually was graham crackers and drinks from the Coke freestyle Coke machine. Mm-hmm. And they bring you to a table because of COVID. So we stayed maybe 10 minutes. And then we started walking around the countries. But I have to tell you, it felt very busy. As busy as any trip I remember in terms of just the sheer number of people walking around. And there was a very long line to get into the Mexico Pavilion. And that area often feels congested. And maybe it was also because of the Epcot, is it called the Festival of the Holidays? But it was busy. And we had put on our agenda that maybe we would do the cookie stroll, because that sounded like something a little bit different. And she thought it would be really fun to do a TikTok video. But I had read a review from someone who had said the line to get the cookies can be really long. So we went to the first booth to get a cookie, and we waited 20 minutes and we were not near the front. And I said, you know what? I'm not waiting in five lines of half an hour each to buy a cookie, because they don't have separate lines for the cookie and the other food. And so we scrapped the idea, because I just didn't think it was worth a 2+ hour investment to get the cookies. So we didn't. And we ended up canceling actually the dinner we had, which is supposed to be at Via Napoli, and just going back to the resort and getting quick service at Roaring Fork. And that was kind of it for the night. It was a little bit of a bust, but I think that was just on us.
Yeah. We all have down days.
Yeah. You know, again, one of the things about this trip that was nice is it was so long for us that we didn't feel like rope drop until they closed the parks, because we've got to get everything in. We sort of said it was our second day there and we'll be back, and that's fine. So we went back, and we took the bus back, and that was easy. And we got to Friday, and I knew I wasn't going to sleep well, because the next day was Hollywood Studios, and I can't sleep well when I know I have to get up early to try to get a boarding pass. Mm-hmm. It's like when you think you're going to miss your flight. Mm-hmm. I woke up every couple hours and I'd say, it's just an attraction, go back to bed. I must have woken up 6 times that night. And ultimately I woke up at 5:30 in the morning for the 7 o'clock attempt at Rise of the Resistance boarding pass. But I had studied up, we went to the lobby at 6:45. Sally got up with me so we would have two phones. And it was 41 degrees then, which was freezing. And the lobby felt warm, and we went near a fireplace, and we got boarding group number 17.
Wow. Did she have school that day?
She did have school, but I think I had mentioned to you before, we decided that she was only going to go to one class in the morning because it was games and it was unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And we just decided, why not? So, we basically blew off the day, and we got boarding group 17. You know, I have read a lot about how people have been successful. This is our second time at Hollywood Studios since they had boarding passes, and we have succeeded both times. I do feel like I know how to do it now, even though people say it's a fluke. We had one of us on Wi-Fi and one of us on cellular. We had the seconds hands up on my watch. Mm-hmm. And so at 6:59 and 58 seconds, we both hit refresh. It instantly brought me to the little blue icon that said join boarding pass. And within a second, we had boarding group 17. And it seemed really easy to me, and we were really happy about it. The only concern was boarding group 17 is early in the day, and the park wasn't opening until 9, but I had read that sometimes they start running Rise of the Resistance before the park opens. So I was a little bit nervous that, given the fact that there's only a 1-hour window, What if they started running it at 8:20 and we didn't get to the park until 9:30? Would we miss our time, or must they give you an hour once the park is supposed to open? I don't know, and we never learned the answer, because I learned that they must have had some sort of technical difficulties and they didn't start running Rise of the Resistance and calling the first boarding groups until 45 minutes after the park opened. So we ended up not getting called until about 10:45.
Were you there at park opening then?
No, we got there at about 9:30. I figured we were safe. And at like 8:50, I started looking to see if they had started to board, and they hadn't. So I figured we had a little bit of time. But we got to Hollywood Studios in our sweatshirts, and we had gloves on because this time it really was cold. It was in the high 40s. And I was really excited to ride Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway Train. That is such a mouthful.
I know.
And
ride names, right? Just keep getting harder.
Oh my gosh. I was really excited to ride it, and I knew we wanted to ride it twice because we wanted sort of to take it all in, but then I wanted to be able to break it down and look a little bit more closely. So we ended up seeing that the wait was posted at 50 minutes when we got to the park. And I said, you know what, we're here, let's just wait it out. And the wait was only 30 minutes, and it moved really quickly. And there's a lot to see, I thought, in the queue, especially outside where they have handprints and the signatures from all of the celebrities that you and I would know. And Sally was like, who are those people? Mm-hmm. And I was like, they used to be really famous.
Mm-hmm. They're old people, Sally.
Oh my God, right? But it was great. Oh my gosh, the ride is fantastic. It really did blow us away. I loved it. I had forgotten that it was a trackless ride. Mm-hmm. I had thought in my mind that it was following the track of the Great Movie Ride, but it is a great experience. So immersive. The special effects are amazing. We both had smiles on our faces the whole time. There are so many surprises, and it's great. I mean, I give it a 10 out of 10. I thought it was just such a great family ride, and we loved it.
When you board, yeah, it does look like it's going to be a great movie ride, because it kind of feels similar to the one way that used to. But then as you quickly realize, it's got its own thing that's totally different.
Yeah, that's one of the great surprises of the ride. Anyway, as soon as we got off, they called our boarding group, and we walked over, and we got onto Rise of the Resistance, and of course, it's amazing. And we had ridden it once before, but for whatever reason, the last time we rode it, they were having technical difficulties, and at least one, but maybe two of the scenes weren't running, so they skipped them. And I only know this because last time we rode this, which was January, when we got off the ride, there were cast members there saying, we're so sorry you didn't get the whole experience. Here are three fast passes for anything in the park last time. And that was amazing. But I also remember this time thinking, I hope that's not on my permanent record. I hope they don't know that I got.
We all want to be good students.
Last time, right? But we rode it. And guess what? This time Sally left her phone on the ride vehicle on Rise of the Resistance. This time she had put it in the pocket in front. And we realized as soon as we got off, we went to a cast member. I thought there's no way they're going to get this thing back because our vehicle had already been used again. And 10 minutes later, he walked over and had our phone. And that was amazing. So mea culpa. We went over to Slinky Dog in Toy Story Land. And that had a posted wait time of 60 minutes. But Touring Plan said it was only 40 minutes. And we decided to wait. And it ended up being 40 minutes. That was fun. And after that, it was time for lunch at Hollywood Brown Derby, which we had never been to, but you highly recommend. And I know you and Heather love it. So I thought it was beautiful. I thought the room was just spectacular. I, of course, got the Cobb salad. I think it's excellent. I don't know how they chop things that small.
I know, right? It's magic.
It is. And it's really good. And I was tempted to get a drink because the actual drink menu looked so good, but it was too early in the day and I thought I wouldn't be able to persevere. Sally got some sort of a interesting, like, Asian flavored soup for her main dish, which was on the kids' menu. And as always, we got to talking to our waiter. He has worked at Citrico's for many years, but had just been transferred to Hollywood Brown Derby and was enjoying it and said he actually really liked working there. We had a really nice meal there. From there, we saw that Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway train had a posted 25-minute wait, and we were right there. So we got on in 10 minutes, and we rode it again. And that was great.
Wow. I'm loving this day.
We felt so lucky.
I'm really loving this day.
This day was great. Mm-hmm. This may have been our best day. It actually gets a little bit better because we ended up getting a couple pixie dusts later, which we never expected. Doesn't usually happen. And the first one happened when we went to the little churro cart there. Sally loves churros. I don't care about them at all, but they're one of the foods that she associates with Disney World. Mm-hmm. So we waited for a churro and we got to the front and they said, oh my gosh, we're so sorry. We're out of churros, but they should be coming in 10 minutes. Here's a free cotton candy. And they handed us a big cotton candy, which I loved. And that was very nice. And we decided to go back to get a churro a little bit later in the day. But we decided to just go ride things. And we went to Toy Story Land and we rode Slinky Dog Dash two more times in a row with about 20-minute waits. We did Toy Story Mania three times in a row with maybe 10-minute waits. And it's funny because when Sally was younger, I used to let her win because she was a sore loser and it wasn't worth a tantrum. And then about a year ago, I decided to try. And as you would expect, tweens are much better than adults now at video games. Mm-hmm. And she can typically beat me even if I try. Well, somehow, the first time we rode Toy Story Mania this week, I won. And she was like, best two out of three. And I was like, sure. When else are we going to have the chance to do this? Because the waits can be so long. So we rode it three times in a row. She beat me two times out of three, but it was great. We did a quick trip on the Alien Saucers ride, mm-hmm. which I don't do because it spins, but she did it. And then we were near the end of our day and we had been monitoring Millennium Falcon all day and the wait times were high. I think because apparently up until today or this coming week, it's only one family per vehicle. Mm-hmm. So in this case, we were the only two and there were a lot of just twos and even some ones in our line. And that was a long wait for this trip. It was 40 minutes. It was a little bit slow. But we thought it was worth it. And we both got to be pilots and we had no idea what we were doing. But it was really fun and we liked it and it was a new experience. And the park was closing in 5 minutes because they closed at 7 o'clock that night. So at 6:55, we said, let's book on over to Slinky Dog Dash and end the trip with one last ride at night. P.S. I think the ride is so much more fun at night. Mm-hmm. And it was a walk-on and we got on and we got off at like 7:07 and the park was officially closed. And we sort of said, that was a great trip. That was a great way to end the trip. As we were walking by that churro cart again, even though they had closed, we said, let's buy a churro. We went up. She said, oh my gosh, we just closed, but here, have a churro on us. And I was like, oh, I feel a little guilty because you already gave us cotton candy, but this is crazy. So we got a free churro. And the craziest thing was it was now 7:10. We were leaving the park. And as we were leaving the park, a cast member said, do you guys want to ride Mickey and Minnie's one more time? Mm. We're keeping it open a couple minutes late. And it was just like so special, I guess, as the fact that we were leaving. We loved this ride. We were ending our trip. The park was closed, and for whatever reason, they were just inviting people to ride it, and it was a total walk-on. And so we rode it one more time, and it was so fun.
You started and ended your day with a ride that you really liked. I love that.
Yes. This day was pretty perfect, I would say. We loved it, and it was a great way to end. And, you know, Saturday, we had booked kind of a late flight so we could just kind of relax and pack up. And we thought maybe we would hit Disney Springs because we haven't been there for a number of years. But because we live in New York, we were required to get COVID tests within 72 hours of leaving Florida. And then we have to get them tomorrow, which is the fourth day that we get back. Mm-hmm. And so the only way we could find a COVID test was by going to Main Gate and getting a rapid COVID test. And Main Gate is a really interesting place. It is very much not in the Disney bubble. And I guess, is that maybe where they have the cast member like discount merchandise store? I think we saw hidden away.
I actually don't know. I'm not sure.
There was something there that was really interesting. Anyway, we went to get our COVID tests, and we had heard from everybody that the wait was about 30 minutes, which sounded great to us because in New York, it's 3+ hours. But I hadn't factored in the fact that it was a Saturday and it was pre-Christmas travel. Mm. And so our wait was actually 2 hours and 15 minutes in the blazing sun with no shade at all, no food and water. And it was rough. It was definitely the roughest line we had waited in. And the only time we saw non-mask compliance on the entire trip.
In a COVID line?
In a COVID line. And we saw a couple of arguments and, you know, it was not a great experience, but it is what it is. And we tested negative, so we were pleased about that. But we didn't have enough time to go to Disney Springs because that had taken us so long. So we ended up just going back to the resort and having one last lunch at Geyser Point, which was great. And I also learned that if you don't like what you see on the menu at Geyser Point, I think they might share a kitchen with the quick serve. And so Sally didn't see anything she wanted, and I think the server overheard her say, "I wish I could get chicken nuggets." And they said, "Oh, we can get you chicken nuggets." And they ended up getting them for us, which was really nice. And we had a nice last lunch. And we were off to the airport. And we did something that we've never done before, which is we flew home first class because it was $43 a person more. And I thought, when are we ever going to get this opportunity, not to mention safety? And so we upgraded for $43 a person and flew first class and got a free dinner. So it was a great bargain, I guess.
It is. You get your luggage paid for. You get food, nicer seats. Yeah. Absolutely. So you upgraded like on your departure day. They just asked you if you wanted to upgrade.
Exactly. And there was only one other person in the, I think, 9 seats of first class. So even that just felt safe. And I'm glad we did it. And that was sort of like a fun little treat, I guess, since we didn't use a couple of our reservations, I felt like I could justify it.
So, yeah, just a cherry on top.
Yeah. So that was sort of the end of our trip.
I love that. What do you think Sally's favorite part of the trip was?
I think making TikTok videos was definitely a favorite part. I think I had mentioned before starting to break down some of the technology and special effects and talk a little more, I don't mean critically in a negative way, but start to review rides and rate them was really fun for both of us. We got off every attraction and we really kind of like broke it down and that was really interesting. I think those were them. I think we had a lot of conversation going home of, did you prefer the old way where we had our touring plans and our fast passes and we sort of knew what to expect? Or did you like this sort of casual way better where we waited on more lines than usual, but for a shorter amount of time? And we ended up saying, it may have been a toss-up, but probably we actually liked this a little bit better. Hmm. We felt freer. We got to do a lot of the headliners more times than we normally would. But all in all, we really liked this whole experience. And, you know, it was different. And I do feel like some of the magic was missing, you know, through no one's fault, except the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic. I will say that we miss the shows a lot because we love them. And I really missed closing the night with the spectaculars. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a trajectory to the day, and some of our most special memories have been watching fireworks and things like that. And I think sort of ending the night just going on an attraction and going home is a little bit of a bummer, but we understand the reasons, and you know, we certainly didn't mind, but we missed them a little bit. And I think we enjoyed even the castle projection shows more than normal because they were some semblance of mm-hmm. that kind of magic at the end of the night. So
mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. There's a lot of pros and cons, you know, we don't have parades anymore, but cavalcades don't require you to wait. Yeah. Like there's so many, It really is a toss up in many ways. And hopefully we'll start to hear soon about the nighttime shows coming back. So
I sure hope so.
When do you think you will go back?
Well, we have, we've got two things that are booked. We actually have a trip that has been booked for a long time. The weekend she ends school back at Copper Creek for a sort of quick 4-day, more intense kind of a trip. And then it's not related to the parks, but almost a year ago, I guess, I booked our first ABT trip. So we were supposed to do an Adventures by Disney in August to Italy, which is a very big trip for us that I'm very excited about and hoping we can still do. But in terms of the parks, I'm a little bit low on points, but we are booked to go back the third weekend in June. So I'm hopeful, and I think most likely a lot will be back to normal. I think what I'm a little bit concerned about, and I've heard other people are, is what if the crowds are substantially heavier then because people are traveling, mm-hmm. but they haven't brought back fast passes? Mm-hmm. And will it be a little bit of a letdown after this trip if it's the same kind of trip, but now we're waiting an hour and a half or 2 hours to get onto things that we had done in 30 minutes? But I guess we all just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think there will be somewhat of a transition. As people who have our own versions of crowd calendars, it's a very tricky business to be in right now. But we'll have to see how it goes. But hopefully you'll get to take both of those trips next year.
For sure.
All right, Jonathan, you've been a fantastic guest. Thank you for writing down so many details and taking the time to share them with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my chat with Jonathan. I loved it so much. For more information on this episode, including ways to support us, you can always check the show notes in your podcast app or go to the website www.prepschool.com. Click on podcast at the top and look for episode 262. Until next time, I will see you on the site.